I'm going to explain. Here's what I'm doing for you. I'm explaining what's wrong with Zond, what specifically is wrong with this guy and his teaching, so that you can, you know, work your way through the theology and the rhetoric that he is spreading. That is, it certainly has a foothold in Missouri. It has a foothold in Canada, so I'm told.
What's wrong with Zond? Well, obviously, there are things that Mike Winger lays out that are wrong, that are definitely wrong. But at the same time, he doesn't see where Brian Zond is right. For him, everything that comes out of the mouth of Mr. Zond would be false. And that's not so. Brian Zond also has many things to offer. But what we need to do is to really not speak past each other or against each other. We need to listen to each other and grasp what it is that is the mind of Christ. And this seems to be something that's very difficult for people to do. The human mind tends to only be able to latch onto a bent.
He actually says that if God was wrathful, really, truly wrathful, not as a metaphor, but actual wrath, it would be petty. It would be petty of God. And so that's the straw man. A wrathful God is a petty God, so you have to take the metaphor instead. So he's trying to get you to abandon true Christianity, but without ever actually interacting with true Christianity.
Okay, it's easy to point the finger at other people, but miss what we're missing ourselves. In other words, it's easy to see a flaw in another person, but you miss what you're not seeing. Whereas Brian Zond would say the same thing, wouldn't he? He would say the same thing to balance out this idea, like what we're talking about, that each has kind of half of truth. And so I would say, yes, in this particular case, that Mike Winger is right in that there is a wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God, unbeknownst to, I don't know, maybe the majority of people in Christendom, is not based on righteousness, but it's based on holiness. And it's holiness that the conservative latches onto at the expense of righteousness. The liberal, on the other hand, latches onto righteousness at the expense of holiness. And this is why, like Brian Zond, the whole idea of wrath, the whole idea of a holy anger, is something that is so abhorrent, because it goes against the idea of love. In his estimation, love would never do such a thing. But see, that's from a righteousness perspective, not a holiness perspective.
He also doesn't like to think that, say, for instance, a nice Muslim could be condemned. So I'm going to read you an example of this from page 142 of his book. Now, some would say, hey, I'm with him on this. So allow me just think it through. Let me read to you these couple paragraphs from Brian's book. This is page 142, Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God. And it's about Becky and Belkis. Becky is an annoying, probably white Christian woman from America and then Belkis is a Muslim who's a really great lady. And so listen to his, it's so manipulative. I've just got to be honest. This is so manipulative. It reminds me of someone I know. Okay, so let's try a thought experiment. Consider two women, we'll call them Becky and Belkis. They're imaginary women, but certainly representative of real people. Our imaginary women were born on the exact same day, March 5th, 1959. Becky was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Belkis was born in Kabul, Afghanistan. Because of their geography, Becky is a cultural Christian, and Belkis is a cultural Muslim. Now, as you read on, you'll realize Belkis is a lot more than a cultural Muslim, but I'll just keep reading. Unfortunately, Becky is a mean, judgmental, self-righteous Pharisee. You know the type. You know the type. She holds me, guys. He's talking about me. She holds her Christian faith with a kind of triumphalism that makes her insufferable to everyone outside her tiny fundamentalist tribe. She has boundless disdain for all who are unlike her politically, culturally, ethnically, and especially religiously. She holds Muslims in particular contempt. Belkis, on the other hand, by the way, okay, we don't want to be Becky. We don't like Becky, right? Becky is a terrible human being, apparently. I mean, obviously she is. But the thing is that he'll probably act like that represents me, because it's all straw men and represents you if you're a biblically faithful Christian, that you're some version of Becky. Okay, let's talk about Belkis. Belkis, on the other hand, is a kind and generous soul. She's known throughout her neighborhood for her acts of charity, which is great, right? And are there Muslims like that? Yes, absolutely. So this could be very well so far a very real person. And she regularly cares for the poor and the sick. She's a devout Muslim. devout Muslim. Okay, she's not a cultural Muslim. She's a devout Muslim, worshiping God in the only way she knows within her cultural context. She loves God and she loves her neighbors. So she's a devout Muslim who holds to Islamic teaching, yet she loves God. That is a contradiction. I'll explain in a moment.
Is it a contradiction, really, that a person who is a non-Christian, or could be a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever, is unable to love their neighbor and love God in their own way? Is that really a contradiction? Or is it so that the mind of Mike Winger is unable to grasp any kind of, I would say, as long as you reduce God to a dogmatic stance or a cardboard cutout God that always does the same thing and always follows the same rules that you apply to him, then we see that we see Mike Winger here limiting God. In this case, Brian Zond, I believe, is right. Biblically, he's right. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what, it's not manipulative. It's a scenario that will happen and will happen a lot on Judgment Day, where many non-Christians will be behaving in much more lawful way and a much more loving way and a much more obedient way than Christians. There's a parable that Jesus says, he says, which is better, the one that says he'll do it and then doesn't do it, or the one that says he won't do it but then does it? So we see that the conservative bent is unable to respect righteousness. You see, he even says, loving your neighbor as yourself. And Mike Winger, seeds that point that yes, there are Muslims that love their neighbor as themselves, and he says it's not possible for a Muslim to love God, which I think again that's the bent speaking, that's the inability to understand and empathize with people that don't have the same background as we do and don't have the same opportunities. So we see that in this case, Brian Zond is right. He's right about the mercy of God, not based on holiness, not based on being able to approach God without blame, not based on having been redeemed by Christ into the holiness walk. No, this is based on, if you love me, obey my commandments. And it's based on obedience of the commandments. And that is what righteousness is. Righteous is as righteous does. And in this particular case, Becky does not obey, whereas Belkis does. It says in Psalm 9:8, "And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." It doesn't say he will judge the world based on holiness. Holiness is for the people of God. It's for the house of God. It's for the church. It's for Israel. But that's not the standard that God uses in the world. The world is judged according to righteousness. The minimum standard of God is to love your neighbor as yourself. As James says, this is the royal law. This is the royal law, and this is meant to judge the world. And this is where liberals and conservatives miss the boat. Well, each of them missed the boat on this. A conservative doesn't understand that the world is not held to the same standard as the church. And it's like a conservative is hard on himself and he's hard on others. He seeks to judge the world with the same measurement that he will be judged by, which is measured against holiness. And that's not so. Whereas a liberal will go easy on himself and easy on the world because he sees that God is merciful and God is love. What he does is he goes easy on himself and likewise goes easy on others. Neither of these positions is according to the mind of Christ. Of course, a hypocrite does exactly the opposite of the mind of Christ. He goes easy on himself and hard on others, as Jesus says, that you load down people with all these laws, but you don't lift a finger to do them yourself. The way of Christ is to go hard on yourself. In other words, you bear up on the standard of holiness for yourself, but you go easy on others. You look at others through the eyes of righteousness, loving your neighbor as yourself.
She loves God and she loves her neighbors. In a strange coincidence, these women who share the same birthday also die on the same day. What happens next? Is your theology such? This is the question, right? Does Belkis go to judgment, you know, Hades, or, you know, depending on your theology here, right? Or does they both go to heaven, or Becky goes to, how does this work? So he says, what happens next? Is your theology such that you're forced to say that Becky is escorted to her finely appointed luxury mansion, why Belkis is dragged away to a dark dungeon of eternal torture? Of course, it's a dark dungeon of eternal torture. Let's use his triggering terms, especially for 21st century, right? This is a monstrous, monstrous theology that is utterly contrary to the spirit of the gospel.
It's funny here that Mike Winger is not describing what happens to Belkis, even as she's faithful and loving and serving her fellow man and her fellow woman. It's funny that there is no answer from a conservative about this, whereas Brian Zahn, with his liberal leanings, has no trouble whatsoever understanding God's mercy and God's love and the fact that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, not just for the church and not just for Christians. So we see that again, Brian, what he's doing is, I think that Mike Winger is digging himself into a deeper hole, and there's a lack of honesty, I find, with both. Whether you speak to a conservative or a liberal, there's a lack of honesty, because as soon as there hits on something that doesn't fit, that you ask the right question, then the answer is don't ask that question, because there are no answers to that question. But in this case, there's a compounded error with the idea that somehow every Christian will be in a mansion or something like this. No, in a large house, or in the big house, there's vessels of both of honor and dishonor, and many Christians will be dishonored and will suffer being cast into outer darkness. And this is something, without understanding that, we're living in a kind of emperor's new clothes of righteousness kind of thing, where people are being led astray with these dogmatic bents that don't take in the full counsel of God. And because of this, people are not listening to the warnings. We have to see that a person like Becky in the story, the narrative that Brian Zahn lays out, there is no way that that person is going to be experiencing what a saint experiences, and not even what a righteous person experiences. Perhaps Belkis, with God in God's mercy, will experience what a righteous person will experience in the next age, and that is to inhabit the nations of them that are saved. But we know that if we are disobedient and we are not loving on our neighbors, we are disobedient to Christ, then he will reject us and he will say, go away, I never knew you. And why is that in a conservative world way of thinking? That is never an option. Because as Mike Winger says, he says he's a biblically faithful Christian. But according to whom? A biblically faithful Christian is somebody who has taken on a bent and thinks himself that way or herself that way based on a conservative bent, and then judging anyone else who doesn't have that same bent harshly.
I'll read on. The gospel is not the appalling claim that billions of people are fated to unending agony by a capricious God. Of course it's not. Nobody thinks it's that. Brian Zahn, can you interact with actual Christianity, please? Please. You're just demonizing people you don't like. You're mocking and making fun of people that, and then using that to get them to reject actual Christianity.
Here again, we see a straw man of claiming what is actual Christianity without actually understanding Christianity, without actually understanding or seeing the divine balance that's in the gospel. So therefore, we see that again, as long as you harp on the point of as long as a conservative looks to people other than himself who doesn't have the same standards and the same calling, remember, to whom much is given, more is required. So those that have received grace will be judged harder than those who haven't. We see, whereas a conservative doesn't understand that whatsoever, a conservative will see to whom much is given, less is required. And that is really the mindset that's going on here. The more is required from those who haven't received grace. But this is not the case, and this is not a biblical way of seeing. But again, in this case, score one for the liberals, score one for Brian Zahn, because he understands that God, it doesn't cost God anything to be merciful. It doesn't cost him. And even if it did, People will say, well, then why did Jesus die for the sins of the world? It doesn't say that Jesus only died. It says not only for the sins, our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So you'd have to understand that God is merciful, and that by obeying his laws and by loving your neighbor as yourself and by loving God to the capacity that you're able, that you have some merit before God. I'm not talking about a holy merit, and I'm not saying that you're able to stand before a holy God. But again, why did Jesus die? So if the good news is not something that's efficacious for people who love and are doing what the law requires us to do, then what are we talking about?
He says, if you say, but only Jesus can save, I say yes and amen. And who are you to tell Jesus whom he can and cannot save? Are you going to tell Jesus he cannot save Belkis? Jesus can save whomever he wants. Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Jesus is Lord. And God will have mercy on whoever he will have mercy. And it doesn't have to filter through any conservative mindset. It has to filter through the mind of God, which a human being seems unable or very, very finds it very difficult to see that balance between the righteous standard of God and the uprightness of his judgments and the holiness and the fearsomeness of his wrath and the fearsomeness of his judgments. So we are either on the good side of God, or it says, notice the goodness and severity of God. And you have to be able to sort out those two. You can't just have everything being severe, and you can't just everything good. Like I say, the conservatives see everything severe, and the liberals is everything is good. But there's both, and there's conditions attached, of course. One of those conditions is for the righteous is to do what is right. For the holy, it is nobody is holy of themselves. That's where we need to be redeemed from the Lord. And this is where we need to walk by the Spirit on the holiness level. And that is by obedience, but to a higher law. And that law is the law that causes us to go to the cross and to live and to do as Jesus did and to love as Jesus loved.
Well, we all agree Jesus can save whoever he wants. But he's also told us exactly how he's going to do this. And he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, if you don't repent, you'll all likewise perish. I mean, Jesus, he is the only way. Receiving him, believing and trusting him, that's the way.
Here is more confusion. This is not about if you don't believe in Jesus as an Israelite, then you're in trouble. If you don't follow the commands of Christ, you're in trouble. But here it says to repent and do what Jesus commands. And it says those that do what's right, even though they don't have the law, they still have the law and they're doing the law from their heart. And this is okay. This is a good thing. But I hear Mike Winger is completely, absolutely confusing the gospel. And this is something, again, where he's at a disadvantage when it comes to criticizing a liberal Christian, because a liberal Christian reacts against that kind of harsh judgment and that kind of, I would say, deviated understanding of the gospel, as if God so hated the world so that anybody that doesn't believe in him would be cast into the lake of fire. I mean, that's not the gospel. The gospel is that God so loved the world. And it is the people that are disobedient to God, that don't love their neighbor as themselves. Those who judge others will be judged. Those who bring hatred and wrath on others will suffer the wrath and hatred of God against their actions. So we see that we have to be able to measure these things with the right measuring stick. There's a righteous measurement and there's a holy measurement. And let not people get those two confused, or let them not negate one nor the other.
You see, Islam is built on the idea of a rejection of Jesus. They reject that Jesus is Lord. They reject that he is God. They reject that he's the Son of God. They reject that he was ever crucified, and they absolutely reject the resurrection. So if you are a devout Muslim, it's a nice way of saying you reject Jesus, you reject the resurrection, the crucifixion of Christ. And then he says, but Jesus can save her. What's going on here is this weird rhetorical gymnastics to avoid actual doctrine and teaching from Scripture.
By now, you should see how a conservative thinks, how a conservative can take all the verses that are meant for him and turn them around and charge them to someone else. And this is a way of scapegoating other people of other religions for something that you're not doing yourself. whereas the judgment on the church is harder, actually. So what he's saying about being a Muslim is a nice way of rejecting Jesus or saying that you reject Jesus, I think that Muslim means to be submitted to God. And I think that because they don't understand the holiness, they don't understand the holiness aspect whatsoever, and that's probably because there's no one or barely anyone that understands it themselves in the Christian world. And so because of our lack, the world is left with a righteous standard, and that righteous standard can be taken up by other religions, including Islam. So Islam is not based on holiness, it's based on righteousness, being obedient and submitted to God. Now, does that mean that they understand why Jesus came and they know who he is? No. Only on a holiness level can Jesus be understood properly. And it seems like there's very few people who are able to do that. There's very few people that are able to throw away the bents, throw away the human understanding, and latch on to what is truly biblically faithful. And that is faithful to the entire text, the entire counsel of God, which is so, so rare.